You and I back together again after some vacation time, January 3rd, 2022, on Connecticut Today, first edition of the show for the new year. We spoke with State House GOP leader Vin Candelora for an update on Connecticut's stalled redistricting process and the new role of a special master. We also heard from State Health Commissioner Dr. Manisha Jutani on the latest COVID-19 numbers. One of the stories that was kind of making a little bit of news last week, but because of COVID and the holidays, it kind of got buried. We're at a point now redrawing the state's congressional districts that kind of sort of a lot of people thought we would reach, kind of an impasse here, even though some minor changes have to be made. But although the changes would be minor, it would affect several towns, primarily in the 5th District and in the 4th District, even some in the 1st and the 3rd. And State House Republican leader Vin Candelora, who's overseeing some of this process, joins us now for an update. Vin, good evening. How are you? And Happy New Year. How you been?
Good. Yeah, Happy New Year. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Vin. Appreciate it. Well, Vin, I guess we're kind of at the scenario where I guess you and some folks had hoped we wouldn't be. Take us up to the point now where we are as far as the congressional districts are, the 5 districts in the state, what the Supreme Court is saying, the state Supreme Court, and a special master or a special adjudicator who might be brought in on this. What's the situation?
Yeah, that's right. The way the process works is, you know, there's a commission of 9 people, 4 Democrats, 4 Republicans, and then one sort of independent person that comes together, and we have to try to draw all 3 maps. We were successful at drawing the state house maps and the state senate maps for redistricting. And then we had the final congressional maps to draw. And we missed the deadline mainly because we ran out of time because COVID delayed the census data coming from the federal government. So we asked the Supreme Court on November 30th for an extension to December 21st to try to come up with a map. You know, the court did grant us that extension, but also wanted us to come up with names for a special master. And essentially, we hit an impasse on December 21st. And therefore, now the Supreme Court has jurisdiction over, you know, essentially being the ones to draw the map. The process that they're adopting is to have a special master come in and draw this map. And, you know, it's disappointing it's come to this. There are some changes that are required to be made because of population shifts. And as, you know, Democrats on the commission admitted, this impasse is really being caused by the congressional delegation and outside pressures pushing on them because the headwinds are starting to hit Democrats and they're concerned about how these maps are going to be drawn and the impact it's going to have on incumbent Democrats. So, unfortunately, we just couldn't come to an agreement.
Yeah, Vin, I'm glad you brought that up. That was going to be my next question. I was a little surprised, and I thought it was refreshing, actually, that some of your compadres on the other side of the aisle said, well, they kind of gave the impression, Vin, I forgot who said it, but didn't a couple of people say, you know, well, we're under a lot of pressure, too, wink, wink. I mean, they made it sound like there was pressure coming from the national, you know, House Democrats not to bend at all on this.
Yeah, I mean, it felt that way. And I don't know the inner workings on the other side. I haven't talked to our congressional delegation. But, you know, nobody likes change to begin with. And that was one thing we experienced drawing the House and Senate maps is, you know, no one likes their district to change, but it has to just because of the population shifts. And I think we're sort of seeing that behavior at the congressional level as well. And, you know, we reached an impasse. It's frustrating to me because, you know, unlike 10 years ago, we're not looking for dramatic change. We would like to make some incremental changes that would improve the districts. You know, Torrington right now in the 5th, which is really the largest urban center in the northwest corner of the state, is cut up into 2 districts.
Yeah.
It's represented by a congressman in Hartford. So if there's a way to make them whole, you know, we should try to. And we couldn't really even have those conversations because every proposal that we came up with was summarily rejected.
And Vin Candelora joins us, the State House Minority Leader from North Brantford. Vin, you know, closer to the shoreline here in our area, the 4th District, Fairfield County, I mean, Jim Himes' district right now has got to lose, what is it, 25,000 people. And if they lose 25,000 people, I mean, Vin, you've been doing this long enough. You're not. This isn't your first rodeo. In a congressional race, 25,000 voters leaving or being sprinkled about in another district, I mean, that's not small potatoes. That's a lot.
No, it's going to have an impact. And similarly, in the second district in eastern Connecticut, they need to pick up about 20,000 or 23,000 voters. So the shift, you know, needs to go in that direction. And it would it naturally has a lot of votes. When you look at it from a political performance perspective, the districts don't change. The Republican, Democrat, unaffiliated mix don't change that much.
Sure.
But yeah, it's significant. You know, eastern Connecticut might have to pick up a whole new town, and that certainly would have an impact.
So, Vin, walk me through this now and walk our listeners through this as best you understand the process. Now, to the state Supreme Court, are they going to come to a point where they said, no, now, you know, thanks, guys and gals, and the blue seats and the red seats. Now this special master is going to draw this up. And I forgot the guy's name. I saw and I read about him. He's got a lengthy legal career, not surprising. So he draws this up and he tries to even it out. And it, does it still then need an approval of the General Assembly?
No, it would be the Supreme Court that would approve the map at this point. It would not come to a vote at all with the commission. So it's really in the Supreme Court's hands. It is conceivable that the commission could put together a map and make a recommendation to the court and say we've agreed upon something, and the court could choose to adopt it. But, you know, that's the other process. But essentially, it's in the Supreme Court's hands, and the legislature doesn't get a bite at the apple.
So what are you hearing, Vin Candelora, regarding a time frame here? Has this gentleman started to do his work? And when would he, Vin, have to be done by, being, of course, now that we're in, you know, a congressional election year?
So the court has asked each side to present a map, which we're working on for tomorrow. And then on January 7th, Friday, each side is going to present to the special master, so one Democrat, one Republican, and then there's a public hearing, I believe it's on Friday as well, the 7th of January, for people to, give their input. And then the special master will present the map probably in mid-January to the court, and the court would likely approve it. And I think the ultimate deadline would be around mid-February.
Okay, so he'll hear. I'm sorry, Vin. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And the court standard that they impose is essentially a minimal change standard. So change as little as possible to the district. So we're not going to see somebody come in and just wholesale rip apart these districts. There's going to be nibbling around the edges.
So the chances of that claw that reaches from the first district all the way into the fifth, into the Litchfield Hills, parts of Torrington and the northwest corner, you're saying the claw is going to live, you think, is what you think.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. The claw will live. I think ultimately it's not going to change until, you know, a Republican wins one of these congressional districts, and then there would have to be some give and take in conversation. But given that Democrats have all five seats, they're going to take the incremental change approach, which, you know, Republicans understood that. And we wanted to sort of give some, you know, reasonable input, but it went nowhere.
All right. Well, Vin, thank you for the update. Didn't know there was so much happening on it this week. We'll keep an eye on it for the presentation and the hearing coming up in the next few days. State Rep. Vin Candelora, the House Republican leader from North Brantford. Vin, thanks. Be good. We'll talk down the road. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, there you go, folks. So the end of the week. So, everybody is stuck on this. They brought in this special master who, and I looked up his name. You can find it. Has a long legal career in politics. He is an election law expert, which is a very specific area of law. And because the D's and the R's in Hartford couldn't come completely together on getting rid of some of the weird things of the Connecticut congressional maps, it's probably not going to change all that much, but it has to. And again, for those you voters, a lot of you in the WICC listening area in Fairfield County, there's going to be a shift somewhere. 25,000 voters 25,000 of you people listening to me right now in Fairfield County, you will not be voting for Jim Himes or for his opponent in November. You're not going to be. You may be voting in the some of you, although I don't, I guess they could. Some of you will be voting in the Rosa DeLauro race, whomever she challenges again. Or some of you, 25,000, may be voting in the 5th district. You know, Johanna Hayes, the incumbent Democrat there, against likely the Republican George Logan, although that might get chopped up as well. So that's the thing to remember here. 25,000 of you voters in Fairfield County who currently either happily vote for Jim Himes or happily vote for Mr. Himes' opponent every 2 years since 2008 when he beat Chris Shays, the choice you have coming up this November is going to be different. How different will it be? It'll be fascinating. Does maybe one complete town in the 4th get shifted to the 5th? Is it going to be, a hacked up town? Does half a town stay in the 5th and half a town stay in the 4th? And again, there is political gamesmanship here. You know, the Democrats here in a blue state like Connecticut want to hold the 5th and the 4th. And Republicans in red states want to hold certain districts away from Democrats. So it is how the process works. Now, this, they call it a voting rights bill. I don't like that name because you have a right to vote here in the states, in America. The Democrats like to say this bill they're pushing in D.C. is a voting rights bill. No, everybody, if they're properly registered, if they know where they live, if they know where they have to go, if they can get to the polling place, you have a right to vote. It's not hard to vote in America. It's not. I know there's some people who think it is, but in shockingly, since for the past 200 years, people have been voting. But the law that's being pushed now in D.C. that may be pushed by eliminating the filibuster, that would take the drawing of congressional districts out of the hands of local legislatures. So what the Democrats want to do is have the federal government redraw all the congressional districts. How's that sitting with you? The state's current, at last check, COVID-19 positivity rate, 21.5% in terms of PCR tests. And the state's health commissioner, Dr. Manisha Jutani, addressed some of the situation earlier today. This audio courtesy of our friends at WFSB TV Channel 3. And she talked first about some testing protocols for state employees and others. He said, and others.
State employees and teachers, what we have allowed is that the self-test can take the place of the PCR test, specifically related to those who are unvaccinated who might be coming back to work. So that is what's in place right now to be able to relieve some of that pressure on people who are needing tests because of the pressure both on PCR testing and for self-tests. Also, in addition, our school guidance has changed where we allow for self-tests in addition, not just PCR tests.
These tests aren't going to, they're going to say that you've got the virus. They're not going to say, well, you know, you're not going to know whether you had Delta or whether you got Omicron, anything of that.
Right. Yeah. So first of all, in general, when you do a PCR test, in terms of our laboratory partners across the state, about 25% of PCR tests are sequenced to know whether it's Delta or Omicron, and that is not going to go to the individual patient. It gives us a sense of the different types of variants that are circulating across our state. And so we get a sense of where things are moving. This is how we saw Delta take over in terms of the entire state, and how Omicron is continuing to rise, and I predict will be the entire state very soon. So PCR tests are able to give us that information. Self-tests, because they are, one, not reported, and secondly, we don't perform that kind of sequencing, they do not serve that purpose. However, they serve a very important purpose of people keeping and staying home when they realize they're infected.
Last Thursday,
yes.
The came back home.
That's correct. So we will have more information this week when we get all our results from various different lab partners. What I can tell you is that in our state lab, Omicron was identified in all of our counties throughout our state. So it may be in different proportions. I would suspect that Fairfield County has the majority, but it is everywhere in the state and will continue to move in that direction.
Doctor, the reportable tests, roughly what's the breakdown between PCR and rapid?
So to be clear, rapid tests are not reported to DPH at all.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Even
so self.
Even if you're at a clinic, that's.
No, so in a clinic, if it's an antigen test in a clinic, that is different than a self test that is done at home.
I'm not asking about self.
Okay. Between the antigen tests and the PCR tests. I don't, unfortunately, think I have that number top of head. Well, I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned about our hospital staff. I'm concerned about nurses and doctors that have been working on the front lines. As we've heard what's happening in New York and New Jersey, we've seen throughout this pandemic that generally what happens there eventually makes its way to us, which is why we really need people to do the things they know they can do right now. And those mitigation measures of wearing your mask, staying home as much as possible, if you are able to telework, I think that's a good thing to do right now. Because I am concerned if we're gonna reach those same levels. I think it's not clear exactly when those hospitalizations will flatten out. We do not see a flattening that I've seen as of yet. So I will be watching that very, very carefully.
The state's health commissioner, Dr. Manisha Jutani, taking questions earlier today on the COVID-19 spike
with
the Omicron variant and other factors involved in testing as well. Once again, the audio courtesy of WFSB Channel 3.
We'll have to continue working with our hospital partners because there are a number of things that can be done at each individual hospital. So, for example, you know, if telemedicine type services are utilized, okay, as an example. Different things that can be done to consolidate services and be able to really optimize the care of patients that are in the hospital. And those are conversations that we have regularly with the CEOs throughout the state. And we're going to have to watch this very, very carefully because different hospitals are going to be experiencing pressures potentially at different times. And the story at one hospital may not be exactly the same story at another hospital. But that's just a few examples of the way that we're going to have to continue to monitor things.
And we're going to get one more question, I think, in here with the commissioner.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that completely.
Or maybe not. All right, there you go. So there's Commissioner Manisha Jutani saying the state's positivity rate about 21.5%. Interesting, and again, those that audio courtesy of our news partner at WFSB TV Channel 3. Interesting the fact that she brought up regarding how the tests are reported and calculated. And she said that certain tests are the minutia of the tests are not reported to the DPH. I think the self-testing, she said, is not 25% of testing is regarding PCR as to what exactly type of COVID-19 you have. So the bottom line is, as she said there, look, the percentage is high. Omicron is spreading and they're watching the hospital capacity, which is kind of where we were the first time this thing spiked, right? It was all about the hospital capacity. It was all about leaving enough available beds so other stuff can go on. That's the big thing that they're always worried about here, is you can't stop the world for this thing. Hospitals also have, you know, some stuff that can be put off and other stuff that can't. So they have all their ratios. Every hospital knows how many beds they need at one time for cardiac procedures and neurological procedures and, you know, emergency orthopedic stuff. And then there's stuff like hip replacements and knee replacements, which, okay, maybe you can put off, you know, a little bit here and there. So You know that there are charts and spreadsheets they look at and space. They have to have a certain amount of space for, you know, triage units and emergency stuff that comes in and, you know, everything from gunshots and stabbings all the way up to long-planned procedures. And having worked in a hospital a little bit and got to know people to do this, that's how this is done. You can't create bed space in these hospitals. You really can't. You know, remember, a hospital is only is hospitals are licensed for specific numbers of beds. And for a hospital to increase or even think decrease bed capacity, that's quite a process. You've got to go through state hospital commissions, insurance commissions, and all that. So that is why the number of people in hospitals, as the governor always says, as the health officials always say, that's the metric that everybody is looking at here. So once again, those remarks from Dr. Marissa Giuttani earlier today, the state's health commissioner, as to what we are looking at. And she said there that she didn't see that leveling off of hospitalizations. Yes, although she's watching that, as undoubtedly other health officials are.